Welcome back in. McElroy and Kubik in the morning. Final hour of the show. SEC Hoops coming up tonight. Milwaukee is at Florida. That's a 5 p.m. tip on SEC Network Plus. UAB is at South Carolina. Andy Kennedy knows the territory well. He'll travel to Columbia. UAB 3-0 on the season right now. That game will be at Colonial Life Arena at 6 o'clock on ESPN Plus. And then Marquette's at Ole Miss tonight. Both those teams undefeated. That's a 6 o'clock tip on ESPN2.
There you go. Fired up about it. Fired up also about going and seeing GMC's Dealer of the Year right there on Highway 31 in Coleman. I also know I can shop online when I shop with Bill Smith Buick GMC by going to their website. Just say their name.com. You got it. Deliver it right to your driveway. A lot of dealers claim to be number one, but out of the 1,800 GMC dealers, General Motors says Bill Smith is number one. Deals like this, like a 2021 GMC Sierra 1500 four-wheel drive crew cab elevation, everywhere else you're paying $55,250. Well, at Bill Smith, you're under $50,000, $49,951. 6.5 decades they've dominated the space. They're family-owned and locally-owned. So go see my guys, GM Andy Cole, and go see my guy, Jonathan Yeager, the sales manager. 75% of their business is repeat customers. That's the result of superior customer experience. They also have a massive used car super facility. So go see the GMC's Dealer of the Year on Highway 31 in Coleman or shop online at BillSmithBuickGMC.com.
He joins us each and every Thursday. Thanks to our friends at Piggly Wiggly. It's the coach, Wim Sanderson.
I faced it all, and I stood tall, and did it my way.
Good morning, coach. Welcome in. I'm going to start with this. Ole Miss is welcoming Vanderbilt to Vaught-Hemingway Stadium Saturday night. Vanderbilt went down to VCU last night 48-37. Do you think the Ole Miss football team will outscore Vanderbilt's basketball team from last night?
Yes, I do. Vanderbilt's gone to the dogs in most everything, but they've really gone to the dogs in basketball. There's no home court advantage. They don't have a good team, and we're not going to talk basketball on this show because it's too important, but we got five bad teams in the SEC in basketball at the bottom of the league and got five real good teams at the top of the league. So when we get to that, we'll talk about it. But I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see them score more than Vanderbilt did last night against VCU. You're exactly right.
I did want to ask you one more basketball question, though.
Sure.
Because Vandy goes 2-25 from behind the three-point line last night. That's 8% if you're trying to do the math at home.
Yeah.
Is there ever a cutoff for you where you just say, no more three-pointers? Or did you take the mentality of, we got to shoot our way out of this? I know it's terrible.
I didn't take that mentality. You know, I wanted the good shooters to shoot and the passers to pass. So I was darn careful in the right kind of way to be sure that we need to get the basketball to player A and player B for their shots. They seem to be shooting a little bit better tonight than you other guys. That's screen for them and do some things. Never would I cut them off, no, but I wouldn't cut them off, but I would get some things straight in practice and try to get that to carry over to the games. But shooting a three-point shot is critical, and people defending it are, that makes them very, very successful if they can defend a three-point shot. And you have to know who the three-point shooters are. That's the key.
Coach, we've talked a lot, or at least I've talked a lot on previous shows. Obviously very excited about Bama basketball this year. I think we have a chance to be fantastic.
Yeah.
And I say we because I don't care if you think I'm a fanboy when it comes to Bama hoop. I'm going to be. Football, a little different. We'll handle it a little more professionally, not when it comes to hoops.
Sure.
So, but here's my issue. This is probably the most excited I've been for a season in a long time. The other day, Bama's playing basketball. I legit forgot that it was even on because I was watching, Maction. My biggest problem with the basketball season starting now is that I feel like it's so secondary behind college football because you're already ingrained over the course of the last 2 months to turn on whatever college football game's on that night, and you're conditioned to just sit there without even exploring what else is going on. So help me understand this. Would college basketball be benefited by starting in the middle of January when football is done? Because that's when I'd like to see the season start.
It would be better off starting sometime in January, yes, or late December. Starting way too early. The two intermingle, and they're not, it's not good, just like you say. And it's just not. And so I think, you know, trying to start the season sometime probably in December, where, you know, football has died down to some extent except for the bowl games. I think you could do that. I don't like particularly starting it in November the way they do. So I would agree with you 100%. I just think that the two intermingling that way, I think, you know, doesn't give basketball its full, you know, full deal. So it's a little bit awkward there. I agree. For you two guys on these two games, so interstate teams, I don't think that, and I know Coach pretty well, and I'm no genius about anything, but I don't think Coach is comfortable with this Alabama football team at this present time. I don't think he's comfortable with their work ethic at practice on a consistent basis, and I think this game concerns him. Naturally, on the Auburn end of it, they're uncomfortable, of course, because of all the darn injuries that they've had, both kicking and quarterbacking. So when you start with Alabama, they're going to have to play. 20-point deal is there for, you know, that's the line, I think. And I think Alabama's going to have to play and play better. They don't have the same team that they have had, and the people have a hard time understanding that. But I'm not sure that there's not something there that's maybe not. I'm going to say this, and both of you are going to think I'm crazy. I have a feeling Alabama is not really, really excited about this game because of the injuries that Auburn has had. I think they're going to win. Think they're going to win one of the two and be in Atlanta.
Well, I mean, I think Alabama obviously has their full mind centered around the opportunity that lies in front of them to get to the college football playoff. And just knowing Coach, it's kind of a one of a time type deal. I'll tell you the game that people haven't been talking about, though, is Arkansas. I thought the committee did Alabama a real benefit this weekend by putting a number next to Arkansas's name. Does that get the guy's attention? Maybe. Perhaps. But I feel like most of the conversation is centered around the Auburn game in the last month, and understandably so. Auburn was playing well. Arkansas was an afterthought. Right. So I can see why the attention would be paid for. But I agree with you. I feel like from the beginning of this year, I feel like Coach Saban doesn't like his team. Now, he'll never come out and say that publicly.
No.
But I get that sense. I've been around it a lot. I've been around it. And I think I've been a part of a team that Coach Saban probably didn't like very much. So I get the sense that he is very uncomfortable with this team every week. And this week's no different, Coach.
Well, I certainly agree in what you have said because of, you know, we're looking forward to Auburn. I mean, Arkansas is just going to be a afterthought, and then the Auburn game is, and I don't know that Auburn can't come back and beat them. I certainly can't. You never know. You know, Alabama may not play because they think it's going to be so easy, but it will be difficult, I'm sure. But I just don't think he is as comfortable with this team as he has been with past teams, and I'm not sure that the leadership is there. When the leadership is real young. The quarterback is young and very, very talented, very good, great eyes. I just don't know if it's you can't quite put it together. I could be totally wrong.
I don't think so.
I think you're right, and I think one of the reasons he's not comfortable, Coach, is the lack of leadership, or just not guys who take the approach that he wants them to take on a weekly basis, and you hear that in. You hear that in some of his press conferences with how he references how they handle themselves in practice, how and why things happen during games. So, I'm interested to – you mentioned the injuries at Auburn, and obviously Bo Nix is a big one, a young man that fierce competitor, had really begun to improve as a quarterback this year. Yep. And I think that's one of the big reasons you hate to see him go out is when a guy's trending upward, you just want to see how far that progression can go across the course of a year. How did you handle – star player, key player injuries with the rest of your team? Not so much that individual, but how did you approach it? By talking to your guys, maybe giving certain parts of the player who was going to be out's role to other individuals? What was your approach when a guy that meant so much to your team was going to be gone due to an injury?
I made him part of it as best I could without playing, without knowing he couldn't play. I wanted him to be, if he could be in the meetings that we had, I'd like for him to be in there. I'd like for him to see what we're trying to do defensively and offensively with our team and make him part of it, although I know that when in actuality he's not part of it. That's the one thing I would try to do is not separate him. The doctors are going to take care of him. The doctors are going to do a good job and think that it may have him mentally. And I want him there mentally, but especially if he's a good leader the way Bo is. And Bo's gotten a lot better. And then for Andres, Carlson, the other kid, I'm not pronouncing his name right, maybe. You know, when you're sitting there with an opportunity from 35 yards out to get 3 points, and you're not going to get it, it's not going to be easy to get. I don't think the other kid has kicked any. It's a booger bear. T.J. Finley is a young man who's tall of stature, but when I watched him at LSU, I thought he threw into double coverage all the time. And I know nothing, as you know. I thought maybe he tried to do the spectacular. Sometimes young quarterbacks like to do that. Let me show you what I can do. And I think I think you really have to be coached in that area. Alabama's not been great. South Carolina's pretty good pass defensive wise. Alabama hasn't been very good, but South Carolina's gotten a lot better. So hopefully he won't throw into a lot of double coverage. But that I kind of try to handle them with my other guys.
Yeah, I think you're right, Coach. When you look at a team that's starting to find its way to the very end, and they've had to endure the challenges of the season physically, obviously basketball, a little different animal.
Yeah.
But did you pull them back a little bit from practice standpoint? Like, did you still practice them as hard as humanly possible at this point of the year? Because
back is unbelievable.
I mean, I remember our practices in September were wars. Our practices in November, still difficult, still challenging, but not anywhere near the same level of intensity.
Well, may I say this all the time? It sounds like I'm bragging. I don't mean to be, but we pulled back on them. We would go in there for an hour 15 minutes at the most, hour 10 minutes, hour, and tell them, we're going to work as hard as we can work on things we need to work on, and we're going to get out of here. And the harder you work, the quicker we're gone. And we're going to be live-legged and when we got to the SEC tournament. We're going to be live-legged. These other guys are working 3 hours. We're working an hour. And we're going to be more live-legged than anybody there. And when we won a game coming from behind, we talked that stuff to them, and I think they felt like, yes, we know it's great. We know we're one step ahead of everybody. Everybody's going 3 hours. We're going an hour. So I backed off of them. We got 12 years I had the job. We got in the finals of the SEC tournament 9 times, which is almost, unbelievable. And why did we? Because we had good players. Because we had good players. That was the key. But those players were ready to play, and I think that was a big help to us.
All right, Coach, what do you like this weekend? Give us your thoughts.
I like Ohio State. I thought I was going to go cold. I thought I was going to go with Michigan and Maryland. Maryland's quarterback is just very average. Michigan is going to keep the football a lot running. 15 points is a lot of points, although I think they'll probably score more than that. I started all week before I got on this show to decide on Michigan, and for the last day, I've changed my mind to Ohio State.
And I'm going to say, Coach, 19's a lot of points, too, now.
So we'll see.
That's a lot of points, too.
Yeah, it is a lot of points. Also, Oklahoma State was, we won with them last week and gone 11-1 or 10-1 or something, whatever we are. But that's a lot of points, too. Ohio State's playing pretty well, I think. Offensively, a lot better offensively, and the defense got straightened out after the Oregon game. It's going to be interesting to see. Cincinnati's not going to lose, y'all. It's going to be interesting if they're going to be able to slide in there after these 2 weeks we have, 2 or 3 weeks left on this thing. I'm not sure they are. Cincinnati against South Florida in the game that I looked at just didn't play very well, I didn't think. I didn't like them like I thought I would like them, so... You're the experts. I don't have any idea.
Well, it's an interesting game for Cincinnati this weekend. We spent some time talking about it earlier, that SMU defense might be able to slow Jerome Ford down and maybe make Cincinnati one-dimensional. Then Desmond Ridder becomes huge with what he'll have to do through the air. Yeah. And Tanner Mordecai has just thrown the ball over the yard this year. So that one's going to be a fun one to watch, 2:30 on ESPN. So looking forward to that one. Coach, we always appreciate it. And as you are each and every week, brought to us by your friends at Piggly Wiggly.
Well, Piggly Wiggly is outstanding people. They're a great family. They're people that can go in there, can be a family atmosphere. They've got great products in there. On 41 Homewood, all over Birmingham, hopefully people will go in and see that they heard it on Inside the Locker Room with you guys. And not inside the locker room, that's my show, but on 94.5, and I appreciate you guys having me on. And I ask you one other thing, both of you. Is Oregon as bad as everybody says they are?
No.
They're good.
I got more stuff last night listening to people talk about how bad they were. I know that. I just want you two expert guys to tell me, are they that bad?
I think there are things you could find about them that you're not necessarily in love with, Coach, but there's a lot of good with Oregon. And because I think they've dealt with their best player being in and out of the lineup, their offensive coordinator being with and not with the team at certain times, there have been some bumps in the road, of course. And the loss to Stanford does not look great, even though that was a little bit of a different Stanford team also with who they had a quarterback when that game took place. But there's a lot to like about Oregon, a lot.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you guys having me on. Appreciate Pig the Wiggy. Thank you.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it. As always, Wim Sanderson joins us each week thanks to Piggly Wiggly. He's on the Bud Light Hotline. There's a lot on the line in this game, Oregon, Utah, Greg, and – you know, physically, this will be one that Oregon does not have a massive advantage going in. We know that. Kyle Whittingham's teams, especially at the line of scrimmage, they're going to be able to handle their business. But athletically, maybe a little bit of an edge to Oregon. Obviously, game going to be in Salt Lake City. It's a 6:30 kick on ABC. I feel like it's going to be a good one. And I feel like maybe we take some of what Jeff Schwartz told us and can now apply it to this game, even though we didn't think we were going to a week ago with where this line opened up, because we talked about how Oregon got up for big games, but also as an underdog, they have been great. They won 5 of the last 6 games, which they were an underdog. 5-2 as an underdog the last 3 seasons. So the fact that Utah opens up as a favorite in this game, maybe that leads into a little bit extra motivation. Oregon can clinch the North with a win, or actually an Oregon State loss to Arizona State. Utah can clinch the South with a win, or Arizona State going down to Oregon State. So it's an important game for a lot of different reasons. College football playoff also involved in that. But I know I'm excited about this one. I think it's got a chance to be a heck of a game, and I think Oregon – I don't know why people downplay Oregon. I mean, I understand that they're – we can pick any team apart, and there are a few things with Oregon that you could pick apart, but – I think they're deserving of where they are rankings-wise, and if they can get this one, it's going to be a real conversation about where they fit into the college football playoff.
Yeah, and Oregon is a team that I think is pretty good along both lines of scrimmage. I mean, along the offensive line, pretty solid. And that's why the matchup, when we talked to Jeff Schwartz, I mean, the matchup for Oregon that they need to neutralize, or at least when you play Utah, the most difficult thing about playing Utah is handling their front. Defensively, their front. Well, this Utah front's not as good as what we've come to expect Utah's front to be. I mean, they're very good, they're very solid, but not as solid as they've been in the past. But this Oregon offensive line, are they as good as they've been in the past? Maybe not, but they are more equipped to handle that Utah front than any other team in the Pac-12. And that's part of the reason why I haven't lost as much sleep about Oregon potentially winning this game. Now, I think Utah will win the game, ultimately. I'll go on record now. I think ultimately Utah wins the game. I think they're smarter. I think this is a game that Utah's had circled. The home field advantage is significant. I'll be curious to hear, because I'm sure you have I'm almost positive you have a Kubik's Rubik on this bad boy.
We may have turned this one into the chemist to try and figure this one out.
Yes. To the stethoscope wearing chemist works. I'd be curious to see what the Rubik's Cubic says on this for real, but I like the matchup for Utah in a lot of ways. Cam Rising has been a revelation at quarterback, and expect him to play really well against an Oregon defense that's good, not great. And I think they can also neutralize Kayvon Thibodeau because of the quick passing attack that Utah likes to incorporate. So I really like Utah in this game, not to dominate it, but to win it in what should be a great game that essentially eliminates the Pac-12 from playoff contention.
Yeah, that Cam Rising matchup against the Oregon defense, super interesting. He only has 2 picks all year, 14 interceptions by the Oregon defense, tied with Arizona State for the most in the Pac-12. So when we come back, we will plug it in. We will let the math decide who will win the games this weekend. It's not our opinions. It's not even statistics that we can go find anywhere. It's an algorithm unlike any other. It's the Rubik's Cubic. Next on McElroy and Cubic in the morning. Welcome back in. McElroy and Cubic in the morning, 10:25 a.m. Thursday, November 18th. The Big 12 issued a public reprimand, Greg, of the Texas Tech football radio announcers. They will be removed from calling Saturday's game against Oklahoma State. Bob Bowlesby has questioned the integrity and specifically that group calling out officials, saying it is beyond appropriate and permissible behavior. He said, quote, "I understand the roles of play-by-play and color analyst. However, as university representatives, they also have an obligation to adhere to conference policy regarding comments about game officials." So the home radio team is out because the Big 12 did not like their officiating criticism.
Well, understandable why the Big 12 wouldn't like it. Also think that the Big 12 made a mountain out of a molehill. If we're going to be completely honest, there's not that many people that listen to the radio broadcast for Texas Tech. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm just telling you.
Haven't heard the tape on Texas Tech radio broadcast?
I think all, you know, partisan radio broadcasts, not the most. I mean, it's not like there's millions upon millions of people listening all over the world. I mean, there are a lot, obviously, but for Texas Tech, probably not as many. And no one would have known about this had the Big 12 not blown it up. And they basically made a mountain out of a molehill, because how many people do you think were listening or listened to that part of the broadcast? At most, 100,000? At most?
Oh, I would have said no.
I would say way under that,
yeah,
right?
That many.
Okay, how many people how many people have now seen the story and are recognizing or at least interpreting the Big 12 is trying to censor what partisan broadcasts say about the league? Like, that is making a huge deal out of something that is not that big a deal.
And now going and finding the audio and actually hearing it for themselves when all those people would not have heard it in the first place.
Correct.
So, yeah, I agree. The anxiety that Bob Bowlesby shows in having to have this, quote, public reprimand of the Texas Tech radio crew.
I'm not saying it wasn't warranted, by the way, either. I'm not saying, like, I don't know what specific play those announcers were referring to. I can't sit here and tell you, well, they, you know, they were wrong, they were right. Y'all, a partisan broadcast is supposed to be just that. All right? Let them be. If you want to listen to the partisan broadcast, you can get bipartisan, you can get down the middle straight line commentary by watching ESPN. All right? You have that avenue, or Fox or whatever it may be. But let the home broadcast team be the home broadcast team. Like, they don't have to have some cloak of professionalism. Like, they don't. Let them say that's an awful call. I hate the officials. The Big 12 stinks. They're out to get us. Like, that's what it should be. Let them appeal to that fan base, to that demographic. Like, let them do it.
There was one comment was, quote, "The Red Raiders celebrate a little bit. They better be careful because these officials will throw a flag if they sneeze." But there are other folks that say that the broadcast crew multiple times went about mentioning the officials on air by name, which,
yes,
if you watch the television broadcast, they're not directing it them in the negative way, but they'll tell you that, you know, referee, whoever it is going to make the call. I mean, that happens all the time. I mean, it's in the team's notes every week.
Did you listen to the audio, though? He literally went down. He said, "I just want everyone to know what the names of these officials are." Now, that's taking it to another level.
That's not great. It's, it feels pointed and not necessarily lacks objection. But, yes, absolutely. So, but as you stated, some of that anxiety about what this was going to be, in which Bob Bowlesby sort of fires this public reprimand off, has taken it to a completely different level. Maybe your CBD store should be on his shopping list because they have products that could help anxiety for you or your pets, also arthritis for you or your pets. And they have the Trim by SunMed that's now in stock, revolutionary new line of products in weight loss sciences that features THCV compounded hemp known to naturally suppress your appetite. These products scientifically backed by clinical trials that span over 13 weeks showed a remarkable rate of success amongst participants. You can get that now at the largest brick and mortar CBD retailer in the world. That is Your CBD Store. They have the USDA certified organic oil supplements, and because of that, they all have that stamp seal right there on the products. So go check out one of their locations today. Highway 280 by Bailey Brothers, 150 by the Cajun Cleaver, and Trustful just off 459, also now downtown in Five Points, Your CBD Store, where good health hits home. It is that time of the week. It is here. The receipts are ready to be fired through the printer. It is the Rubik's Cubic. This is math. This is science. This is arithmetic. This is biology. This is chemistry. This is calisthenics. The Rubik's Cubic is brought to you each and every Thursday by Alabama Roofing Professionals. They offer free roof inspections. There are no fine print, no obligations. If you need them to repair your existing roof, they can do that. Or replace it, they can do that as well. And they warranty every bit of work that they do. Blow-in insulation, Alabama Roofing Professionals has it. Visit them online at alroofpros.com or call Mike and the guys 205-722-ROOF today. Greg McElroy, you asked for it. You got it. You thought it was going to be a part of it? Well, it is. Damien, I hope you have the machine turned on.
Oh, yeah.
I hope it's warmed up.
It is.
Plug in Oregon at Utah.
Rubik's Cubic.
Rubik's Cubic.
Rubik's Cubic.
Printer even travels well. All right, game obviously Salt Lake City. That's advantage Utes. 227 on the ground per game for Oregon, which is 11th nationally. Utah goes for 215 on the ground per game. That's actually 17th nationally, but slight edge to the Ducks, who allow 120 yards rushing per game. Utah allows 139 rushing yards per game. Advantage Ducks. Turnover margin, plus one for the Utes, plus nine for Oregon. That is tied for best in the Pac-12. Penalties, 73 for 686 for Oregon. Just 45 for 428 for Utah. That's advantage Utah. Third down offense, Oregon converts 52% of the time. Utah converts 46% of the time. Third down defense, now Oregon's allowing opponents to convert on 43% of those third downs. Utah,
that surprised you with their pass rush? That surprised me. That surprised me a touch.
It does. It actually does. But Thibodeau obviously not in there for all their games, so maybe that played into it just a little bit. Utah's at 37%, which maybe more surprising is best in the Pac-12. So that's advantage Utah by a margin of straight up plus one. The Rubik's Cubic selects Oregon to knock off Utah.
Okay.
They had the rushing numbers. They got the turnovers. They do not have the penalties, and the third downs are split. They have the offense. Utah has the defense. You mentioned it. Utah at home, so there you go.
Who has the special teams? Don't you know about third phase?
It's not on my receipt.
Nah.
Sorry. I don't see it. I do not see that. All right. Let's stay in state. We have three teams in state that are going to make an appearance in the Rubik's Cubic today, but a big one we haven't spent a lot of time on. We will tomorrow. UAB is at UTSA in a monster matchup. Plug it in.
Rubik's Cubic.
Rubik's Cubic.
Rubik's Cubic.
Game, obviously, San Antonio advantage Roadrunners. 189 a game on the ground for the Roadrunners, 168 for UAB. UAB allows 110 rushing yards per game. That's pretty good. It's not bad. Not bad at all. The University of Texas San Antonio allows 90 rushing yards per game, which is fifth best in college football. That's pretty good. UAB is plus two in the turnovers. Solid. Not bad there for UAB. Anytime you're in the plus department, the turnovers, that's good. UTSA is plus 11. That's tied for fourth in the country. Only three teams in college football, Ole Miss, Kent State, and Cincinnati, have a better turnover margin than Texas San Antonio does. So that's advantage Roadrunners. Here's where things get a little sideways. UTSA, 43 flags for 446 yards this year, Greg. That's actually best in CUSA. UAB has 94 flags for 926.
Where is that at? Worst?
That is, I'll give you a hint. Same place Michigan State is in their pass defense.
Wow.
130.
DFL in the entire country. Not good.
92.6 penalty yards per game.
Per game.
Wow. I'm going to call Coach Clark and say, what are we doing here? What are we doing here?
Holding.
Holding.
Now, the good news. The good news for UAB is that Toledo actually does have more actual flags. Now they played one more game, so
okay.
It's 94-108. So UAB has the opportunity to catch up, but if they have 14 flags in this game, we got problems. But that's a lot. It's actually what we call double up.
Hmm.
So that's a plus two for UTSA. Texas San Antonio converts 46% of their third downs. UAB 39%. Advantage Roadrunners. Both defenses allow 35% third down conversions converted by their opponents. By a margin of plus six, the Rubik's Cubic anticipates that Texas San Antonio will stay undefeated.
Plus six. Is that the biggest margin ever?
You could go bigger if you had more double ups, but I think it's actually the biggest that we have had.
Yeah.
In the Rubik's Cubic this fall. There was one other plus five that we got. That was UAB and Liberty. Mm. But moving on, as we will plug another one in to the computers that the rocket scientists have so gladly fired up for us this morning. Let's go back to the SEC. Auburn at South Carolina. It's interesting. Run it.
Rubik's Cubic.
Rubik's Cubic.
Rubik's Cubic.
Games in Columbia, Williams-Brice Stadium, advantage Gamecocks, 176-128, rushing yards, advantage Auburn. Rushing yards allowed, 132-169, advantage Auburn. Now, Auburn's minus two in the turnovers, not great. South Carolina plus one, advantage Gamecocks. Penalties, 66 for 534 for South Kekalaki, 60 for 486 for Auburn. Slight edge to the Tigers there. Auburn converts 43% of their third downs, Gamecocks just 36. Gamecocks allow opponents to convert on 44% of their third downs. Auburn's at 37% on third down defense. So, by a margin of plus three, the Rubik's Cubic selects the Auburn Tigers to win in Columbia. I think most people probably anticipated that, probably expected that, but we wanted to run it and see what it would look like based on geometry.
Homer.
Okay, well then let's plug in Arkansas at Alabama. let's plug it in.
Rubik's Cubic.
Rubik's Cubic.
Rubik's Cubic.
Obviously, game at Bryant-Denny, so that's advantage Alabama. 234 game on the ground for the Hogs. That is sixth best in all of college football. 162 for Bama. Now, Arkansas allows 151 per game on the ground. That's a little bit higher than I would have anticipated. Before we got this receipt back from our rocket scientist. 84 per game on the ground for Alabama, second in the SEC, fourth best in college football. Bama's plus eight in the turnovers. Arkansas plus five in the turnovers. Advantage tied. 86 flags for 705 yards for the Hogs. 71 for 653 for Bama. Advantage Bama. Alabama has the best third down offense in the SEC. They convert 57% of the time on third down. It's optimal.
Not bad.
It's also the best in college football, not just the best in the SEC. Arkansas converts just 37% of the time. Your third down defense is actually best and second best in the SEC. Arkansas is 31%. Alabama's 32%. So don't expect a ton of third downs to be converted. Total in the game, by a margin of plus four, Rubik's Cubic selects Alabama to beat Arkansas. Handily.
Homer.
Handily.
Homer. Bama yeah. Homer.
By the way, Just quickly, we talked penalties, and this has a little bit of relevance on the show. Who do you think has the least penalized team in college football?
I'm going to guess the Baylor Bears.
The Vanderbilt Commodores.
If you went yards per game, LSU would be the least penalized team in college football.
Wow.
Which to me is a bit of a shocker. 31.7 yards per game. Actual flags? Actual flags.
Go ahead. You can give it
there
to
are
me.
Two teams tied for first. One has relevance to this show today.
Wake Forest.
Army would not surprise you as the team that they're tied with. Louisiana Monroe.
Wow.
37 penalties on the entire season.
Where's Baylor?
You go, Terry Bowden.
Golly. You go, Perry Bowden. You go. If you want to see that Bama game, Tickets for Less, your local source for Bama football tickets. Find the best selection of seats without the added taxes and per ticket service fees. You find on other sites at ticketsforless.com. Call today 205-758-1199 or visit their office at 1410 University Boulevard or shop online ticketsforless.com.
Where's Haney? Are we allowed to get sponsored segments inside sponsored inside segments? I don't even know if that's a real thing.
It's like a deep. It's like Alabama a deep dive. It's a 15-second. We'll be all right. And we got a few left before the end of the show, so you better tighten it up.
We'll figure it out. We'll get it done. It's all good. All right. Finally, Michigan State at Ohio State. Plug that one in, Damian.
Rubik's Cubilic.
Rubik's Cubilic.
Rubik's Cubilic.
You called for the blowout. Let's see if the printout matches what you called for. Greg, Ohio State is at home. Advantage Buckeyes. 198 and 196 rushing yards per game for these two teams. No advantage. Michigan State, 2 yard advantage per game. 114 allowed on the ground by Sparty. 106 for Ohio State. Advantage Buckeyes. +3 for Sparty. +9 for Ohio State in the turnovers. Advantage Buckeyes. 74 for 716 penalties for Michigan State. 67 for 629 Ohio State. Advantage Buckeyes. Third down percentage on offense, 39% for Sparty, 53% for Ohio State. Advantage Buckeyes. Your third down defense, 40% allowed by Michigan State, 42% for Ohio State. Slight edge Sparty by a margin of +4. Rubik's Cubic selects Ohio State to smash Michigan State.
Bye.
+4 for Ohio State, +4 for Bama, +6 for Texas San Antonio, +1 for Oregon, +3 for Auburn. Your Rubik's Cubic for the week brought to you by our friends at Alabama Roofing Professionals. Free roof inspections, no fine print, no obligations. They will repair your existing roof. They will replace your existing roof, and they will warranty everything that they do to any roof that you have. They offer blow-in insulation that can keep your home energy efficient 12 months out of the year. Log on to alroofpros.com or call 205-722-ROOF. That's 205-722-ROOF. We react to the Rubik's Cubic and give you our final thoughts today for college football next on McElroy and Cubic in the Morning. All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Cubic in the Morning. Final segment of Thursday, November the 18th. Listen online, jocksfm.com. You can get your podcast there at jocksfm.com as well. Or get your podcast wherever you may get yours, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get those. Always appreciate you liking, subscribing, and grabbing those at the end of each and every show.
Are you tired of waiting weeks for dental care when you need it on your schedule, or worse, you have a dental emergency and can't get immediate help? I'm Greg McElroy here to tell you about Family Care Dental, the urgent care office that you can be seen the same day. 3 locations, Hoover, Fultondale, and Homewood. And they can see you on Friday and Saturdays. They're accepting patients of all ages for emergencies or routine dental appointments. Most insurance plans are accepted, so call Family Care Dental, 874-9605. That's 874-9605.
All right, so I sent you this,
during
the break. I got to know if you're in on this or not. This dropped a little bit earlier this week. I don't know if you can get one. I think they're pretty much gone. Reese's is selling a giant 3.25-pound peanut butter cup pie for Thanksgiving.
And what happened? What took so long? That's what I'm trying. Like, you can talk to me all you want. Like, what? Like, why did it take this long?
Been?
I mean, this is a marriage made in heaven. Like, why did it take so long? There's nothing. I mean, there's literally nothing better in this world than pie and Reese's.
See, I'm not big on Reese's. Not a big Reese's guy.
Turn off his microphone. He's controlling his own microphone. But turn it off. He's out.
You're out.
Done.
I'm a big Reese's fan, and it's towards the top of my candy list. But this is, I just can't even fathom how rich this would be. And I also feel like pie, you need some sort of a crust, right? We're legitimately the bottom of this is just chocolate again. This is a lot. This is heavy duty.
Yes.
I'm not saying I wouldn't try it, by the way. Available to me, you throw a little vanilla ice cream with that thing and let's roll. Like, I want to see how that's going to go. But I don't know where we get these. I don't know if they're sold out. I think I saw somewhere that they were gone. But a 9-inch Reese's Thanksgiving pie, largest Reese's peanut butter cup ever, and it weighs in at almost 3.5 pounds. This is the mother load of Reese's. So. Now, the box says it's meant to serve 48 slices, Greg, that are only 160 calories each. But if you could take down the entire pie, it would be 7,680 calories.
It's really not that bad.
Knock it out there on your own.
If you're a beast, that's one run.
Right.
Wow. Where are you? I don't know where you're running.
All right. I don't know.
I don't know. You seen Homewood? Dude, I don't know. There's some hills in Homewood. It's a wrap. I can run that thing off pretty quick.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not going to see me running through Homewood unless somebody's chasing me.
I made that mistake one time running up 31. I'm like, I'm going to take a right here, cross 31, get out into the hills of Homewood.
Yeah.
Huh. See ya. I legit almost had to Uber home. I was hurting so bad from that run. Dead.
It's a grind.
Sold
out of these things, but you just wonder if they sold out so quick, is there going to be like another wave of them coming? But,
wow.
I don't know. I saw this
supply chain.
To see if you guys were in on it, but Damien, obviously not.
So. I feel like we would be able to get our supply chain issues solved if this was what was on the line. If this is what the world might be without come this holiday season, our supply chain issues need to become a thing of the past. Like, I know we're having challenges. I get that. I acknowledge that. But if it is denying the wonderful people of the United States of America the opportunity to consume nearly 10,000 calories of Reese's at a single sitting, we are doing the world a disservice.
Hey, President Macron, right there, man.
That's all I'm saying.
Saving the American people.
There it is. Preach it away. So instead, we're not going to be able to get the Reese's pie for Thanksgiving. You'll just have to go over to Tostadas today and make it up for you there. Tex-Mex with a twist, Mexican pizza, pomegranate guacamole, the street corn queso, the Kaneka queso. You can even go queso flight if your heart so desires, at Tostadas, and all the different variety of tacos, honey jalapeno fried chicken, firecracker shrimp, smoked brisket, all available there at theflattaco.com if you want to check out their menu before you roll in. Curbside carryout still available, and obviously they've got the daily specials, including the spring happy hour from 4 to 6 p.m. with $5 margaritas. Tex-Mex brunch on Saturdays and Sundays to get you set for football. Patio going to be open. TV's at the bar. A lot of different reasons to check out Tostadas. Hal and the guy's going to treat you right. Tell him you heard about him right here on McElroy and Kubik in the morning. And get in for those daily specials Monday, Margarita Monday, Tuesday, Bingo Night, Wednesday, College Day. All the specials all week long and the Tex-Mex brunch on the weekends. Tostadas on the square, downtown Homewood, across from our friends at Soho Social. A lot of college football that we got to today. We mentioned tonight, you've got Memphis, Houston. Houston came in at 24 in the college football playoff rankings, but just how underrated do you think this football team is? Because they're one that doesn't get a lot of conversation. 9-1 overall, 7-0 in the American. Got a good chance to get a good Memphis team tonight.
They're playing tomorrow. But you just scared me to death for half a second. I was like, hang on a second. That game's tonight? I have to cancel my dinner plans.
I warned you guys earlier in the week that I didn't know what day it was.
No, it's okay. I just
said it's not going to stop until the first week of December.
No, that was purely internal, dude. I legit had a panic attack because I'm taking Meredith out for her birthday tonight at 7:45 p.m. And I was like, when I found out that you just said Memphis and Houston, I was like, oh my God, that's tonight. I got to go somewhere with the TV. I'm about to change
we got Louisville and Duke tonight.
I don't care as much about that one. I don't care as much about that one. No disrespect.
Much better game tomorrow night than tonight.
Air Force Nevada, the game of the night tomorrow night, by the way. Air Force Nevada is a good one. I'm very excited about that game tomorrow night.
You might want to pay attention to that Air Force offensive line. Those dudes can get it. They can flat out get it. They might play harder than any other group in college football that I've studied. And it's obviously a little bit different, of course. And they're not asked to do as many things from a difficulty standpoint as a lot of the other groups in college football are asked to do. But they have mastered a lot of what they are asked to do, and they play with an edge. I mean, they play with some real nasty. And they get after it. And it's not the old school triple option. I mean, that thing's opened up a little bit more. They've added some different things. They're a little bit more capable in the passing game than that offense has been in the past.
I think that team is actually very good. Offensive line, very solid. Defensively, good against both the pass and the run. And they're going against a Carson Strong-led Nevada team that has been lighting some folks up. I like Air Force in the game. I do. Because Nevada's not great against the pass, but they're very good against the run. Relatively speaking, mid-50s, I think, or so, when it comes to against the run. I think Air Force might be able to sneak up and grab that Nevada team. The other good one tomorrow night, San Diego State on the pitch, Houston-Memphis on the pitch, like you referenced. Who knows, maybe Washington State finally has a bit of a come down. Arizona's playing better. Tomorrow night's a good night of football. So enjoy your Louisville Duke beatdown, and let's gear up for Friday Night Football.
We'll get ready for it tomorrow, 7 to 10 a.m. Happy birthday, Meredith. We're back tomorrow. Three-man front next on Jocks 94.5.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.